Lord has placed it on my heart to talk to you about car engines tonight. Specifically, one basic fundamental truth about your car engine or about any car engine. A car engine needs engine oil. Oil made specifically for a car. Oil is the lifeblood of your car engine. And without it, the engine will die. A horrible, brutal death. So if you take one thing away from Mass, your car engine needs oil. Now, why wouldn't someone put car engine oil in his or her car engine? Well, maybe they live in the realm of the absurd. So they go to the gas station and they're like, fill up on gas, I know how to do that. And then they go in and they're like, ooh, Bang energy drinks. 2 for $5. I'll slam one, and then the other one goes into my engine because it's Bang. It'll make it go faster. Maybe. Maybe they're willful. They're like, nobody tells me what I put in my car engine. That engine stuff, engine care, engine oil, it's all out of date. It's old-fashioned. I do what I want to do to my car engine. Maybe. Maybe there's just basic ignorance. Like nobody ever told you your car engine needs car engine oil. That's possible. It's possible, especially when you like walk in, or not walk in, you step into your car and you just hit a button and it starts, right? And you don't know anything about it, right? You just hit a button and it goes. Okay, possible. But maybe it's just neglect. Maybe you just forget to put car engine oil into your car. Now, of all these things, absurdity, willfulness, ignorance, neglect, certainly the last two are probably the most common, right? But in this culture, who knows, right? Who knows? Because it's getting crazy out there. At the end of the day, the point is this. If you don't put actual car engine oil in your car engine, it's going to break. And mine is broken. Not out of absurdity, not out of willfulness or ignorance, because my dad taught me every time you go to the gas station and fill up, you pop the hood and you check the oil, but out of neglect. So I stopped being in the habit of checking the oil when I got gas. I don't know why I stopped, I just did, right? I thought, ah, everything's fine. Well, it's not so fine. I didn't know that my car engine was burning engine oil. When I looked at the place where I park in Guad, there was no big stain of oil that was dripping down, right? It looked fine. No big spill, so I drove it down to Yellowstone over Labor Day weekend, right? And of course, it had been sitting for a long time during the pandemic. I wasn't driving very much, so I wasn't really checking it. I wasn't really thinking about it. I'm like, it's fine. Drive down to Yellowstone. What happens? On the way back, about outside of Boulder, all of a sudden, lights come on, right? And there's a shutter in the engine, but then it was like, ah, it's kind of okay, I don't know. Who knows what that was, right? So, mental note, you should stop if that's the case. So I just kept going, right? And then there was a little bit of a rattle, right? Which evidently isn't so little, right? Dropped the kids off, I was bringing back to Carol, went to go get gas, pop the hood, check the oil, dipstick, not just low, bone dry. So now my engine's broken. It's not like struggling, it's fatally wounded. It has a mortal wound. Without the oil, guess what's been happening? The metal has been grinding against other metal pieces. And then what happens is it shaves off those pieces. So then you're like, okay, well, maybe I can just go get one part fixed in the engine. Guess what? That doesn't work. Because the mechanic told me those metal pieces have been going all throughout the engine. And slowly but surely, they will kill every other part of the engine. That's a problem. So when the guy called me up, I said, give me the good news, man. He's like, well, it can be fixed. Can it be fixed? I said. He's like, yeah. Is it going to cost a lot? He's like, yeah. Yeah, we need to drop a whole new engine in there. And friends, that's a little pricey. So now, why am I telling you this? Well, here's why. Because just as car engines have a certain nature with rules that govern them, we as human beings have a certain nature with rules that govern us. So that human nature is a gift that comes from God. We're created in His image and likeness. God Himself is the source of our dignity. And that dignity is great and mysterious. Man, if you ever really get to know somebody, if you actually see them, not just look at them superficially, but if you see them for who they are, the mystery in front of you is so profound. Each one of us, so unique, so mysterious, with such great dignity. But that human nature that we have is also really fragile. We're very vulnerable. All of us have been hurt, and all of us can hurt. Sometimes we've been attacked in our dignity, and other times we attack. And we see it in the culture all around us. But also this, now listen, we can have our dignity attacked. We can attack the dignity of others. But we can also choose to live beneath our dignity. We're the only species that can do that. We're the only species on the planet that can choose to live beneath the dignity that we have. And sometimes it gets so strange that we even celebrate living beneath the dignity that we have in some type of weird perversion of freedom. We can do that, and sometimes we do. But the truth is that just like with car engines, if certain essential things aren't done to help our human nature properly function, we break. So all the complex moving parts of our humanity, they can begin to grind against each other, right? And then we break. Things that we actually do versus the things we know we should do. They grind against each other. Our spiritual sensibilities and some of our lower bodily appetites, they grind against each other. And then we break. Could be out of ignorance. Sure. Could be out of absurdity. There's plenty of that in the culture today. Could be out of neglect. You know, like the person who at one point like knew I should pray and I should go to church and I should make God really the center of my life, but then slowly, and not even for a really good reason, they just stop, right? They just kind of fade out of the spiritual thing and we just neglect those deeper needs of our souls. Could be out of willfulness. That's all of us. It's really rebellion. Right? Anyone who has ever known the right thing to do and didn't do it, that's all of us, right? Or anyone has known something is wrong and still done it anyway, that's all of us. And sometimes we even resent God who has made us a certain way with a certain nature and that we don't get to fashion that nature however we want. Basically, we resent that we're not God. So we rebel, like a spoiled three-year-old throwing a tantrum in the grocery store, or maybe like a sullen teenager. But thank God that our Father in heaven is a good parent who doesn't cave into our spiritual temper tantrums. Now, whatever the reason, ignorance, absurdity, willfulness, neglect, whatever it is that causes our humanity to break, what does God do about that? Well, He extends His healing mercy. Pope Benedict XVI, he said, healing is the central message of the gospel. Isn't that a great line? Healing is the central message of the gospel. The whole story of salvation is a story of healing. Salvation, even the word in Latin, it comes from salus, which means health. That's why you say greetings and salutations, or we used to. Even the word salve, we don't use that word very much, S-A-L-V-E. A salve is a healing ointment. It's connected to the same word, salus, salvation. We get a good picture of what God wants to do in Isaiah 55. That's the first reading tonight. Let me give you a few verses right before the reading we just heard. So the beginning of the chapter says this. God says, all you who are thirsty, come to the water. You have no money, come. Buy grain and eat. Come, buy grain without money, wine and milk without cost. Why spend your money for what is not bread, your wages for what does not satisfy? Only listen to me, and you shall eat well. You shall delight in rich fare. Pay attention. Come to me. Listen, and you will have life. That's how the chapter begins. And then it goes on. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. Let the scoundrel forsake his way, and the wicked his thought. Let him turn to the Lord for mercy, to our God who is generous in forgiving. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord. Nor are your ways my ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. Friends, in the incarnation, God himself took on human nature so that our human nature might be healed. He's opened wide the doors to his healing love, and he just says, come. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, I'll give you rest. Come to me. You have no money? No problem. Come. You have no worth? No problem. Come. You have no way to pay me back? No problem. Come. He just says, come. Come to me. That healing, every single one of us needs. And that healing, every single one of us can receive tonight from Jesus, because that's who he is. The divine physician. Pope Francis once said the church is a field hospital. That's a good image. A field hospital is a hospital that's right on the battlefield. And the people who go there are wounded. The church is a field hospital. We're all wounded, every single one of us. Every single one of us. But to be healed, we have to let the divine physician have his way with us. We don't just come up with our own remedies. We certainly don't rationalize our own woundedness. That's the modern mistake, and it doesn't work. It just adds injuries upon injuries. So we have to be willing to change. That's Isaiah. Let the scoundrel forsake his way, and the wicked his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord for mercy, to our God who is generous in forgiving. See, healing starts when we realize that we need to stop doing the things our way and we need to do things God's way. So we come to Jesus tonight and we say, all right, Lord, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are as far above my ways as the heavens are above the earth. So I'll trust you. I give you permission to take a good look at me, to see where my wounds are, to see where my nature has been warped and misshapen. And I trust you're going to start healing. Can your wounds be fixed? Yes, without a doubt. Is it costly? Just look at the crucifix. Are you worth it? Are you worth the cost? Well, brothers and sisters, get close to Jesus in prayer and let him answer that question for you.